And hello again, my radio friends, my listeners. I thank you for your other ears that you're listening to me today, and thank God for bringing me another 2 weeks to speak to you. I pray that this message today would be a blessing to you. I want to talk to you today about lies. Lies. Stephen accused of blasphemy. That would be my topic. But I'll be taking it from the book of Acts, chapter 6, and verse 8. Stephen accused of blasphemy. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called a synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivers to us." And all who saw in the council looked steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. My folks, you have to be very aware of liars. Liars are dangerous. Lies are the nemesis of truth. Lies made the holy man of God got killed. Lies would go to any length to destroy you, to stop you from progressing, and even have you imprisoned. Each day, we make the same choice hundreds of times, whether to lie or tell the truth. It often happens without thinking, and we ignore the profound impact of these seemingly inconsequential decisions. Even the smallest lies can cost you money. It can cost you lots of different things. Can cost you allegations and affect your choices. You can cause your general life. You can cause your sickness or death. Lies cost the servant of God his life because of lies. Stephen, he was martyred because the Sanhedrin went to ask people to falsely come up against Stephen and said Stephen committed blasphemous things. All types of people lies. Your co-worker, police, ministers, friends, children, etc. Lies. Lies can have you shot, stabbed, or anything. Liars are criminals. They're dangerous. Venom in lying. And so the thought of thinking up a lie is sinful, ungodly, and immoral. And without any regard for any man's character, dignity, and moral standing. Lies can make people start to define you. Some people can conjure up some of the most dangerous lies that sounds like the truth. When a lie is being told on a person, it makes that person look as if he or she cannot be trusted by their friends. That's how dangerous lies are. I meet them every day. I deal with them every day. Even on my job, I deal with them every day. Martyrdom has been or is seen for most religions. Martyrs can sometimes be seen as heroes for what they have done. But however, Stephen's trial and death in Acts chapter 7 is much more than an act of martyr. It has been questioned whether or not the stoning of Stephen was an act of a formal legal process or the act of the mob. And it was an act of a mob. What is also interesting about Stephen's death is how closely he imitates Christ. While in no way it is said that Stephen's death did the same as Christ's, or it was a reenactment of martyrdom of Christ. But there are some amazing similarities. Stephen's death was also a turning point to Christ. Was Stephen's trial and sentence an act of legal process or a mob? Was it? It was. Because of lies. So the beginning of Acts chapter 7 up until his death at the end of Acts 7 is his speech to the Sanhedrin. Stephen's speech was for the hearers, flagrant apostasies, while his purpose was to denounce the status quo mentality that had been grown up and run the land, the law, and the temple. This was undoubtedly taken as a frontal attack against the Jewish religion in its official and popular forms. So the council was absolutely furious. Unless they wanted to repent and admit that they were wrong, they had no other choices than to find Stephen guilty of blasphemy. And so the sentence of blasphemy is stoning. So the question is whether Stephen had a trial. The verdict of conviction, according to the rules the Sanhedrins were following, were not to be completed until the following day. It is nowhere mentioned in the book of Acts that they waited to stone Stephen. They were so enraged with Stephen and his message to them that they ground their teeth at him. So grinding their teeth is not a good thing. They were so infuriated with him that from that, what it looks like in the Bible, they took him outside the city gate right away and stoned him. So this was the result of a mob, not a legal process. Because of lies, people conjured up lies against the holy man of God. How he spoke against Moses and he spoke against God. Nothing like that. Nothing far from the truth. There are numerous similarities between Stephen's death and Jesus's. Again, it is going too far to say that Stephen is reenacting Christ's death. But Stephen, in several ways, is imitating Christ. It is not only his death that Stephen imitates, but also the events leading up to his death that are so similar. One of the first similarities between Jesus and Stephen is, just like Jesus, Stephen was also, he was also able to work wonders and signs among people. And you can find that in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. Stephen was also brought to trial before the Sanhedrin. Act in chapter 6, 12 to 15, just like Jesus was. He also had false witnesses accuse him. Acts 6, 13, and you can see Luke 22, 66 to 71. Stephen was taken out of the city to be killed. And so he also prayed that his spirit would be accepted. Just before Stephen's death, he cries out to the Lord not to hold this sin against them. One of the major differences in Jesus's stayed silent in the face of his accusers. One of the major differences is that Jesus stayed silent in the face of his accusers, but Stephen was not. Stephen's speech was exactly what the council expected. Another difference was that Stephen's death was to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the point that Luke is trying to make with all of these parallels and differences between Jesus and Stephen is not to emphasize the personality of his character, but rather their prophetic power that is affected by the Holy Spirit. The same power of the Holy Spirit will then be transferred to Paul, Philip, and Barnabas as they bring the gospel outside of Jerusalem into the world. Stephen's death is not only the death of a martyr, but is also a turning point. It is no coincidence that Saul, who later becomes Paul, is introduced as Stephen's stoning. Stephen's death in the city of Jerusalem signifies that the mission of the church has ended in the holy city. There are no more evangelistic narratives in Jerusalem in the book of Acts. This was an easy transition from evangelism into Jerusalem by Stephen and others, into evangelism throughout the world by Paul and others. In fact, the holy city will become a center of forces that are against God's plan for salvation. And all this occurred because of lies. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, 7 to 1, he said, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. And yet they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then and then, they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." Paid men to come up with all these accusations. And they stirred up the people, the elders, the scribes, and then they came upon him and dragged him away and brought him before the council. And you know what? Just like today, they put forth false witnesses who said this man increased incessantly, speaks against this holy place and the law. And they said they heard him. Dangerous. Went about looking for people to side with them, giving them things to say, yes, they see this man. They have been doing that in court, even in the court system. Yeah, they do that. And when they brought him in the council, the high priest said, "Are these things so?" The Hellenistic Jews, those Jews born outside of Israel who migrated to Israel, but who still had a separate language and culture derived from their exile, have already been introduced in Acts. They were those Jews who at Pentecost heard the apostles speaking of the mighty deeds of God in their own native tongues. So it would not be unreasonable to assume that it was some of the native Hebrews, those Jews born and raised in Israel, who spoke Aramaic or some Semitic language, who thought the song they heard since he could not understand these foreign languages, were the mere mindless babblings of those who had too much to drink. They thought they were drunk. And not until the neglect of the Hellenistic Jewish widows did this group actually emerge as a distinct entity in Acts. And so here in Acts chapter 6, they developed strong feelings of resentment towards the native Hebrews whom they held responsible in some way for the neglect of those widows from their own Hellenistic Jewish group. So in the appointing of the seven men who would oversee the feeding of the widows, Stephen was described as a man who was both full of the spirit and wisdom, and as one who was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. His ministry to Hellenistic widows seems to have put him in contact with a great many Hellenistic Jews. And so among these people especially, and through Stephen, God accomplished many great wonders and signs. Feeding the widows gives Stephen a much greater exposure and the opportunity to function in a way that was familiar to the 12 apostles. Stephen's sermon is scriptural. One cannot imagine how any more scriptures could have been packed into this message. Much of the sermon is a direct quotation of Old Testament texts. Virtually all of the rest of Stephen's words, as recorded in chapter 7, verse 2 to 50, are Stephen's summation of scripture. Stephen is not like so many contemporary preachers who begin with the scripture text, never again to return to it. All of his message was scripture. His conclusion was but an application to these scriptures, to his accusations. And accuses. Stephen's sermon is a survey of the Old Testament and of Israel's history. He begins his message with the call of Abraham, found in Genesis chapter 12. He deals with a number of the major periods in Israel's history and with several of its prominent figures, including Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, and the prophet. His message has a geographical orientation. His preaching seems to have focused to some degree on the coming judgment of God in Israel. And that is why the Sanhedrin goes around asking people to lie for them against Stephen. The charge against him was that he spoke against this holy place. Stephen's message thus has much to say about the places where God dealt with Israel. The sermon is a kind of walk through Old Testament from Haran, outside the land where Abraham was called to Egypt, back to Shechem, where the patriarchs were buried, to the wilderness where Moses fled. So the holy mount where Moses was called to Egypt, again from which God delivered the enslaved nation of Israel to the wilderness, to the promised land, and finally to Babylon. Stephen's sermon was spirit-filled. He was described as a man who was full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and also a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Finally, he was described as full of grace and power. His opponents were unable to refute the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. His face shone like the face of an angel. In chapter 16, verse 15, at the time of his death, he was said to be full of the Holy Spirit. Check it out in Acts chapter 7, verse 55. And so surely no one can doubt that his sermon was spirit-filled. And though it was spirit-filled, no one is said to have come to faith as a result of hearing it. Instead, Stephen paid for this sermon with his own life. By lines, it would be well for each of us to know that a man who was full of the Holy Spirit could find something better to say than the words of the scriptures themselves. By speaking the truth about what he knew, he was killed. The sermon of Stephen supplies us with some details which the Old Testament does not supply. For example, Stephen tells us that Moses was a man of power in words and deeds. You can find that in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, from Moses' excuses to God for not serving as his spokesman to Pharaoh. One would have concluded that Moses was a poor public speaker in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Furthermore, we are told by a literal rendering of the text that Moses was placed in the basket he was really put on to die. Stephen's sermon is an inspired commentary on certain parts of the Old Testament scriptures. And in spite of the fact that Stephen's sermon had a very strong message of divine judgment, it was motivated by a loving and gracious spirit. Stephen was full of grace, and the words of Stephen at the time of his death are a testimony to this fact. He was not an angry young preacher, a hostile fellow belching forth the fire of hell. He was a man who loved his listeners, who prayed for their forgiveness and salvation. Paul was delayed answer to this prayer. From the words and action of Stephen must have stuck with Paul and even encouraged him in his hours of danger as he often brushed with death. And while the stone Stephen, he still had the love to pray for them. He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Ladies and gentlemen, lies are dangerous, and lies has caused Stephen his death, and lies has caused Jesus his death. You must be careful and weigh the Spirit. And I'm out of time. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your divine message. And I pray, Lord, that whoever will listen, O Father, that their heart and their minds would be changed. I pray for those liars, that their lives would be transformed by your divine Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.